A reading from Isaiah 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child while they were there. The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I think we all know the Christmas story quite well. We sing about it in Christmas carols, as we've done tonight, and we will continue to do so for a bit more. We see it in Christmas plays, And crib scenes under the Christmas trees give a visual clue of what it might have been like. The scene of the stable, a child in the manger, Mary and Joseph at his side, and the shepherds arriving. That has been recreated in many cultures. Now, I actually have been to a few exhibitions of nativity scenes. In some of the exhibitions, there were hundreds of nativity scenes, and they were all quite interesting, and they were from throughout the world. Some were clearly medieval in style, others were modern and brought the story into the 21st century, and yet others were quite clearly set in ancient Judea. Some scenes were abstract, others detailed down to the smallest stalk of straw and the facial expression of each shepherd. Some were set in the cold midwinter, some in the rainy season of Palestine, others were set in the tropical heat of Africa or of the Pacific Islands. I think those nativity scenes are one way to make the story relatable. Now, if you have a look later on, and or if you can, you know, if you've got good eyesight and can see it from where you're sitting, our nativity scene here at the front of the church is not that detailed. It just shows some of the representative characters. We've got Mary and the baby Jesus. We've got Joseph there, four shepherds, three sheep, and the three sages with their gifts. There's no exact recreation of the surroundings. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they wear all distinctly Middle Eastern dress. And the sages, they've got the colorful robes, which are reminiscent of Oriental wealth. Now, the sheep, actually, I have to confess, are probably more a bit like an English breed rather than the Middle Eastern fat-tailed sheep breed, but they're close enough. Overall, it's a scene that is familiar, but at the same time, it reminds us that Jesus was born into this world in a different time and place, not here and now. And yet, as we look at these nativity scenes, we are reminded how ordinary they are. They are not like some of the stained glass windows, even our brilliant window here at the front, where the light puts the saints or Jesus into a different sphere. And through that, the saints or Jesus are somewhat removed from our normal experience. Now, I think the nativity scenes portray a very human story. After all, thousands of babies are born each day. And throughout the ages, many babies were born in peasant households or in temporary housing, for example, where Jesus was. Their animals would have been close by. The birth of Jesus was just another baby born into a poor family, as happened throughout the millennia. And yet, in most nativity scenes, there's also something extraordinary, just to indicate that it's not a normal birth. In our case here, we've got a star that shines brightly on the manger below. On many other scenes, there are angels flying around that bring in a heavenly dimension. Now, we don't have any angels. They've already announced the good news to the shepherds who have now come to the manger. But in other scenes, they are there. And when we see angels in art, we normally recognize them. By convention, we know that these human-like figures with shining robes and wings, they are angels. Now, of course, we don't know how exactly the angels appeared to the shepherds near Bethlehem. But we do read that through them, this ordinary birth was proclaimed to be something extraordinary. Through the message of the angels, the shepherds knew, and through them, we also know that the baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger was the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And back then there, the heavens opened and the multitude of heavenly hosts praised God. There was a glimpse on earth of the continual praise of God in heaven. There, for a moment, the veil was torn. And after that, the shepherds went to the manger, as we see in our nativity scene. They go to a place where a baby lies among the smell of livestock, next to the dung and urine in a feeding trough, in an environment that could only be described as unhygienic and somewhat crude. That baby has really come to earth, earth in all its ugliness and in its despair, but also through the people there, earth in its beauty and hope. And yet, I think that's the wonder of the incarnation, that God who transcends our time and space was born here in this time and place, has become an ordinary human. This child is the one who would fulfill the promises to Israel, who would teach the world about the grace of God, and who would bring salvation to all people through his death and resurrection. In all its ordinariness, it's indeed a wonder of wonders. Now, I think not many of us would have had angels appear to tell them in quite clear terms about God and the world. However, I think that the task of angels as messengers of God, as those who reveal the world beyond its first appearances, that task of revelation comes also in many small and silent ways, not always accompanied by flashes of light and the rush of wings. I think that task of angels is the application of the word of God to particular situation, an insight that is beyond the conventional forms of knowing. We may receive that insight through reading the Bible or in our prayers, or through the words and actions of others when we listen to them. But of course, the greatest message that the angels ever delivered to humans is exactly what the shepherds heard there in Bethlehem, that this baby born into the quite ordinary circumstances in Bethlehem was the savior of the world. If we listen and believe the message of the angels, we can know that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up in the small village of Nazareth, and who walked the streets of Galilee, which is just a backwater of the Roman Empire, who died like a criminal on the cross, that this Jesus also is our Savior. Then we can hear the witness of the disciples and Christians throughout the ages that this Jesus was raised from the dead and gives hope of new life to all who trust in him. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to recognize that all those things that happened there in a place far away, all those things are still relevant today. So if we listen to the message of the angels, then we can understand the deeper significance of this all-too-human story of a child being born. And then we begin to understand the breadth and the width and the depth of God's love. And then we begin to know that we, and indeed even every new child, is valued beyond any measure by God. And so every birth is not only a blessing, but also a cause for joy at the good things that God is doing on this earth. And it is also always a reminder of the redemption of this world and the love of God. Amen.